Amen. Thank you, Abby.
Over to you.
You might want to turn this mic down a little bit, else Tim will be moaning that I'm too loud. Brill, I nearly said good morning. Did you say good morning, Abby? Is that why I've got morning in my head? Good afternoon. Thank you for coming along to this session. I didn't know what Tim was going to be speaking on earlier, so he's actually set this up really well. I just want to start by telling you a bit about myself. I hope that's okay. And I've got some pictures, because I don't know about you, but when I sit and listen to people and they talk about who they are and what they do, I'm like, I want to see some pictures. So anyway, my name is Sam. I am a children's pastor. I've been doing that for over about 10 years. I'm married. This is my wife and my son, Zach. We love food. He loves food. I've also got another little boy due in March, so number two. As you can tell from my accent, I am from Birmingham, and it's Birmingham, not the Black Country. They're very different places. So this is a picture of Birmingham the other night that I took. It's absolutely beautiful. That's not Birmingham, that's Miami. I could not find any nice pictures of Birmingham on Google Images. I support Villa, greatest team in the Midlands. I'm a big Villa fan, and I work for Life Central Church, so previously Zion Christian Centre, if any of you have been in Elam a while. So I've been at Life Central for 4.5 years, so came in as the full-time children's pastor, and back in September last year I've become next gen pastor. What that means is I still do all the children's work, but I now oversee our youth worker, and I run the young adults ministry with my wife as well. So 0 to 30 is the age range that I do, which is massive. So I primarily run Life Central Kids, so all our kids ministry, all that we do for children under 11. And I'm also part of the Limitless Kids team, so I oversee the Midlands along with Emma Bacon, and I'm part of the team. So we are looking at wisdom in teaching. So I wanted to start by asking you a question, and that question is, what's a question that you want answered today? I'm aware that it's a very broad topic, this, and I want to make sure that you all leave with something. So what I'd like you to do is, if you've got a notebook, if you've got a phone, whatever you've got with you, I'd love you just to write down in your head right now, what is the question that you want answered in this session? So maybe you've come with something going, I want to know this. I want Sam to talk about this. I want this answered. So take a minute, just write down a question that you want answered today, specifically about this session, maybe not like just in life in general. Maybe should have put you want answered in this session rather than today. So if you're waiting on some news or the doctors to call you, please don't put that down, but just a question that you want answered from this session, so with the theme wisdom in teaching. And then give me a nod when you've done that. And then hopefully I'm going to answer 99% of them, and the 1% I don't, you can ask at the end. So I just wanted to start, obviously I've told you about myself, but I know for me personally, when someone's speaking, I really want to know what's the context that they're speaking in. You know, churches are so varied, so different. So I just wanted to share a little bit about my context, what our church is like, kind of what our kids' ministry is like. So for us, we have 4 Sunday services across 3 locations. So we have kids work in some capacity across those. So we have basically our main service in our location called Hells Owen, and then we live stream at the same time to 2 other locations. And we have full kids provision running at all 3 of those locations. And then we also have, so that's at 10 o'clock, and then we also have an 11:30 service where we're currently just running additional needs provision for kids. All of our kids work is curriculum led. So what I mean by that is we've got a curriculum that we pay for, and that is what leads our teaching, what leads our sessions, stuff like that. We have weekly groups, so we meet every Sunday, but then we also have a Wednesday night, which is for primary school age children, which is small group based. So small groups is our model. So when I say that, I mean we put a lot of effort into our small groups. We see that as our model for our whole church. We made a decision a few years ago. It was kind of, are we going to be a church with small groups, or are we going to be a church of small groups? If you can see the difference in that, it's kind of putting the emphasis on it. And we obviously decided to be a church of small groups. So all of our adults are encouraged to be in what we call connect groups, small group, house group, life group, whatever you want to call it. We call them connect groups. And so our young people are in groups. We call it cruise. That's every Wednesday night. And our children, our primary school age children, are in groups, and we call that tribes. We've got tribes, cruise, and then when you're an adult, you move into a connect group. So small groups is our model. Outreach is our focus. So our church is kind of main thing is that we want to help people find and follow Jesus. We're very much a church for the unchurched. So every Sunday, we try and steer clear of kind of church Christian jargon. We try and make every service kind of applicable for somebody walking in who's never been to church before, while also trying to make it applicable for those that have been Christians for a long time, which, as you can imagine, is quite a hard balance to maintain. So outreach is our focus. So we're constantly looking in our children's ministry. How can new children come in? How can we get young children from the community into our stuff? And then invitation is our culture. So we encourage everyone in our church to be inviting. So this Christmas and last Christmas, we did about 10,000 Christmas cards out into the community with an invitation to join us for our Christmas production online, or this year just gone in person. And we are constantly giving kids invitations to our kids' stuff to invite their friends. And one great story is back at the kind of last Wednesday before half term, we did a party, and one of the girls who's seven turned up with her older brother and this girl, and she's like, oh, she's invited in. I was like, oh, brilliant. So we signed her in as a guest, did all that jazz, and she went in. And I just said to mom, oh, it's great that she's brought a friend. Then mom started to explain the story that they were playing a game the night before. And this little girl had asked her mom what her mobile number was. And she thought, that's a bit weird. Anyway, this little girl wrote down this mobile number, gone into school and arranged with her friend in class that she was coming to kids that night, and her mom needed to call her mom, and this was her number on the back of the invite. And so this family in our church got a call from a family that they didn't even know, and said, your daughter's invited our daughter to your kids' group. Apparently, you're picking her up from Sainsbury's car park at 5:30 p.m. Honestly, I was laughing my head off as she was telling me. It was absolutely brilliant. So that's just a bit about us. Small groups is our model. Outreach is our focus. Invitation is our culture. So we're looking at wisdom in teaching. So I hope that just gives you a context of where I'm coming from, kind of when I'm talking, when I'm sharing, that's where kind of we're at. So wisdom and teaching, just a quick definition. Wisdom, the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment, the quality of being wise. Teaching, ideas or principles taught by an authority. You know, I love that definition of wisdom, the quality of having experience, knowledge and good judgment. You know, we've all got that, okay? And all of us are in children's ministry, I hope. That's why you're here. And actually, so if you're in children's ministry, you're in authority. And so therefore, we can all be wise and we can all teach. Now, for me personally, when I got this topic to speak on, like, I was like, yeah, I'd love to speak. And then I got the topic. And if I'm honest, I was like, I do not see myself as wise. Like, I'm a bit daft, and I wouldn't use wise to describe myself. And I also am not someone that jumps at opportunities to teach or preach, and so I wouldn't necessarily see myself as a teacher. If those of you that know the fivefold ministry, I would not put myself as a teacher, and so I was a bit like, I do not see myself as this. But I love this quote from Todd Bolzinger. It says, perhaps the single most transformative moment of all is when a leader says, I don't know what to do, and then goes about the hard work of leading the learning that will result in a new faithful action. I'm going to be honest with you. Every time I get asked to speak or do something on stage that's kind of preaching, teaching, whatever you want to call it, I generally have a moment to God where I go, I don't know what to do, because it's not my forte. I love leading, but I love leading off the stage. I love leading teams. I love leading people. I love leading kids. Do you know what? Put me on stage in front of a load of kids and I'm in my happy place. But adults are sometimes, I'm like, what? But anyway, I've kind of prayed about this, thought about this, and I've got three kind of main things that I want to focus on. So the points are, if you like points, this is really going to tick your boxes, okay? I've got 3 points, and some of those points have got 3 points, and most of them all start with the same letter, so I'm really pleased with myself. So number one is praying. We're going to look at praying. Number two is preaching, and number three is planning. So those are the three that I'm just going to focus in on and talk about. So I felt it was only right, we've got to start with praying. Has everyone got that down? Does anybody else? Oh, no, don't update. Anybody else hate Adobe? I literally, Thank you. I love to get the things down, and I really hate when someone's speaking and they're like, I've got 3 points, and then they're not clear what are the 3 points are, and you're like, have I got this right? And then you miss one. So mine are hopefully really clear. I've numbered them, and it'll stay up there as well. So anyway, let's start with praying. And it's really funny because I picked this verse out because I absolutely love it. And this is the same verse that Tim used earlier. But it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its works so that you may mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. I don't know about you, but I have to ask God for wisdom a lot of the time, a lot of the time. Whether it's an issue with a family in my church, whether it's a pastoral issue, whether it's a safeguarding issue, whether it's a team issue, whether I've got somebody that's absolutely brilliant on team, but they are constantly, constantly late and it drives me up the wall. I have to ask God for wisdom. And so I start, whether I'm teaching, whether I'm preaching, whatever I'm doing, I start by praying and I start by getting before God and going, I don't know what I'm doing here, help me. So, a few questions to think about and remember. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us. You know, that is what is great when we're thinking about, you know, topics or how do I do this or what do I speak on. We've got the Holy Spirit to guide us. We've got the Bible to help us. Isn't that amazing? You know, actually, when we're looking at wisdom, when we're looking at teaching, maybe when you're looking at fruits of the Spirit, whatever you're teaching with your kids or in your messy church, whatever you're doing, we've got the Holy Spirit to guide us, we've got the Bible to help us, and we've got Jesus to love us. And I added this in because actually, show of hands, anyone ever got anything wrong when they've been on stage? Maybe said something they shouldn't have done, maybe told an inappropriate joke, maybe cut like, oh, I've told too many poo stories and got carried away with kids sometimes and thought, God, I shouldn't have said that. And so actually, we've got the Holy Spirit to guide us, the Bible to help us, and Jesus to love us, because actually we don't get it right. And there might be one or two things I say today that are a bit off the wall. But, you know, Jesus loves me and he loves all of us. And the other thing we've got is we've got YouTube and we've got Google. And we've got Limitless Kids. Because let's be honest, okay? We probably look on YouTube and on Google more than anything else in kids' ministry. I should have probably added Pinterest as well. Honestly, anybody just spent hours on Pinterest looking at crafts. And obviously we've got the Limitless Kids team as well with loads of ideas. So praying, we need to start by praying. Whether you're thinking about the next series in your kids' ministry, whether you're thinking about a preach that you need to do at a family service, we need to start with praying. Secondly, preaching. So we're thinking now just about being on stage, being in front of kids, okay? And I've got 3 points, and they do all start with the same letter. Aim, audience, and application. So these are the three things that I want to look at. Aim, audience, and application. So whether you have got a big kids ministry and you've got a stage and lights and a fancy PA system, or whether you're in a little room off the kitchen, or do you know what I mean, you've got a hut out the back, or my best one is at my old church, we used to do kids ministry in a static caravan out the back that we bought for 500 quid, got it put in the back garden, we ripped one of the bedrooms out and made an open plan, and I had my office, an open plan bit for the kids, and a toilet and a bit of storage. Honestly, it was freezing, but it did the job. That anyone beat that? Anyone? Martin? No way. Poor cabins are freezing as well. So my home church used to have one of them. So anyway, so whatever context you're in, okay, for me, these three things can apply. So when it comes to aim, I want us to think about these three things. What's your aim? So what is the aim of what you are teaching or preaching? What is your aim? Is it to get across a biblical principle? Is it to the kids to know that Jesus loves them? Is it for, you know, them to feel and sense the Holy Spirit? What are you trying to accomplish? Now, that might seem similar to aim, but actually we have an aim, and then what are we trying to accomplish? So we might have an aim to teach the kids about fruits of the Spirit, but what am I trying to accomplish? I'm actually trying to accomplish this week them understanding what self-control is. Does that make sense? So, and then thirdly, what's the end goal? I always, always like to start at the very start of a talk after I've prayed, really seek God and go, okay, where do I want to end up? So for an example for you, we launched, so I had a very interesting meeting with our leadership team where we do a big production, you know, band, lights, LED wall. we do all of this, and normally we sometimes put on kids ministry during it, or sometimes the kids come in. And I just had a, my wife isn't here, so I can take the credit for it. It was her idea. But we had this thing in conversation of, you know, when you go to the cinema, the new James Bond was out at Christmas. You know, when you go to see the new James Bond, you don't take your three-year-old, your five-year-old, your seven-year-old, your eight-year-old. You maybe take your teenage kids, or you maybe, you know, it's a 12A, so maybe you take your 11, 12-year-old. But actually, what do you take your little kids to see? Paw Patrol. And so I had this thing that I put to our leadership, and I said, look, I said, I think our production is James Bond. It's aimed at adults. The young people enjoy it. Maybe the older kids can come along, but it's not for 3, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-olds. I said, we need a Paw Patrol. And I actually said it like that in a meeting. And so we came up with something. We're connected. I'll talk about it in a bit, but basically where we get our content from, they run something called Jingle Jam. And so it's basically about gathering families for a Christmas production that's basically family-based. And so we decided to do that the week before our production. And so we didn't know how it was going to go down. We ended up with 60 families. So there's about 200 people in the room, age like literally from weeks old all the way up to kind of grandparents, and basically I was down to speak at it, and so for me this was like, oh, what is my aim here? Because honestly, it was like half the room, church families, committed Christians, woo, do you know what I mean, doing everything right, some great families. Other half the room, come to our kids club once or twice, somebody had been to our toddler group, neighbour came, do you know what I mean, it was like completely unchurched. And so I had this room of ages, literally the whole age scale, and just Christian, non-Christian, and everything in the middle. And so I had to think about what was my aim. Well, my aim was actually what I wanted to do was challenge the Christians to remember that Christmas is about more than just presents and the facade and everything else that comes with it. What I wanted to challenge the non-Christians was that actually there's more to Christmas, that God loves you, that there is a hope. And so I thought about how do I accomplish that? What's the end goal? And so I ended up planning this tour where I had three presents on stage and I opened them throughout the talk. And I don't know if you've ever done an all-age family tour, but it's so hard. Do you know what I mean? It is so hard because you are literally speaking. I've got my three-year-old son on the front row. I've then got parents and grandparents and everything in between and teenagers, and you're trying to communicate that. For me, my thing is keep it to 10 minutes, keep it really fresh, have most of it aimed at kind of kids, and then throw some nuggets in for the parents. So for me, these three points are exactly what I worked through. And so I did this whole talk basically about hope. And I finished by saying, you know, if you're a Christian, then I want you to be reminded of what Christmas is all about. And if you don't believe, and we want you to know that there is hope in Jesus. And so it kind of was a balance of all of those. So aim, that's the first one. Second is audience, okay? Who's it aimed at? Now, I know that's aim again, but what you got to think about when you're planning, who is it aimed at? So for me, in that instance, I was going, okay, this has got to be for Christians. This, basically everything. It's got to be for everybody. But there might be times where you're like, I've literally got 8 to 11-year-olds, and that's it. So you need to think about who's it aimed at. Now, this is similar, who's in the room, but I think this is really important because actually I could have gone, I'm going to aim my Jingle Jam talk at the 5 to 11-year-olds. But the reality is that in the room was a mixture of ages. And so sometimes you might think, well, I want to aim this at the kids. But you also need to think about who's in the room. So it's trying to compile those two things together. Who's it aimed at? Who's in the room? And will it relate to these people? So I knew that for that talk, it needed to relate to everybody. So I knew that having some presents that I opened would get the kids' attention. I knew that talking about personal stories, I talked about stories that would relate to the kids, but I talked about stories about being a parent that I knew would relate to the parents. And so it's trying to do those things. You know, one of the toughest times I had to try and do these three things was I got asked to speak on Mother's Day. Mother's Day is always really hard. So it was an all-age service. So we're talking like, again, every single age. But rather than like Jingle Jam, where people are coming, they know it's a family event, they know it's fun. This was a Sunday morning instead of church. So I've got some of the people sat there like this, What are you doing there? Where's the senior pastor? What is this talk, 10 minutes and not 20 minutes, half an hour? And I had to talk on Mother's Day. And so I had to think about these things, right? Who's this aimed at? Who's in the room? And will people relate to it? And so the theme that I went for was basically about female role models in your life. Because let's be honest, talking about mothers can be a really sensitive subject. So I shared five stories of five women, none of them my mum, but five women that had impacted my life in completely different ways. And so those stories related to the young, to the old, and so hopefully everybody in that room could relate to that. So who's it aimed at? Who's in the room? Will it relate to these people? So it's thinking about audience. Thirdly, application. Everyone following okay? I'm not talking too fast. Great. So how can they apply this? For me, this is the one that I'm like, this is my jam. You know, when you're planning a talk and some people, it's like, I love the Bible. Give me the theological side of taking that out of a talk. For me, I'm all about application. I love going, how does a six-year-old apply this to their life? Because let's be honest, it's really tough sometimes to teach some biblical stuff to kids and help them put it actually into practice. So we're looking this month all about, what are we doing this month? It's totally gone out of my head. Self-control. Yeah, we're looking at self-control. An interesting topic with 5 to 11-year-olds. But actually, every week, I'm thinking, right, how does this apply to these kids? What is something? And, you know, it was things like, the kids are great, aren't they? But like, oh, I get annoyed with my brother, I get annoyed with my sister. I'm like, yeah, jumping on that. And so, do you know, I was thinking about, actually, how do they apply this to their lives? The other thing is, what testimonies do I have? People love stories. I'm sure that lots of people can remember a talk and remember a funny story or a great illustration that somebody, I'm sure we're all going to remember Tim talking about how his son wanted him to wipe his bum. Do you know what I mean? We remember stories. And so I'm always thinking when I'm doing a talk, what are the testimonies that I can get in? And as well, I think it's so important and it's really hard. And I know I'm not, there's some people in this room older than me, but trying to think back to when I was a kid and share stories of that, because I think there is no point me talking to 5 to 11-year-olds about the tough day that I've had with my son and how going to work is really hard. And do you know what I mean? That's not going to relate. So what I try and do when I'm planning a talk is go, right, just think back. And do you know what's great? It's a half the time I can't remember anything. And I'll sit there and I'll go, God, just drop a story. Just remind me of something that happened as a kid. And sometimes I exaggerate it a little bit. And sometimes I call my mum or my dad and go, do you remember when this happened? What actually happened? And so they tell me. And so one of the stories I love to tell to kids is basically about how my mum bought all these brand new ornaments for the garden. And when I was about 8 or 9 playing football in the garden, I broke all of them within 6 months. And she was so angry with me. And I talk about how we make mistakes and actually how, you know, my mum was angry, but she still love me even though I'd made mistakes and it wasn't on purpose. There's so many things you can pull out of it. I've used it a lot of times. But I think the point that I'm trying to make is testimonies are really important. And I think if you can think back, you know, to whether you're talking to 11 to 14-year-olds, 5 to 11, under 4s, thinking about what's something in my life at that age, because I think that relates so much better than a story of you as an adult with your adult problems. Do you know what I mean? Trying to talk to a child. So what testimonies do I have? And then finally, what are all the examples I can give? So I try and think of as many examples that I can give to children as possible. And I have done the silly thing and not plugged my laptop in and it's about to die. Is there a plug on stage, Abby? Oh, this would be great on the recording. Sorry, everybody listening on the recording. Those thousands of people that will listen to this on the recording. Thanks, mate. So what I'm saying here is try and think of as many examples that you can. So, for example, with the self-control that we're looking at this month, I will literally go, right, what is every possible example I can think of for self-control? So, you know, you're playing on your game and your parents ask you to get off. You've been too long. You've run out of time on roadblocks. Your brother or sister's annoying you. You're at school and somebody's pushed in front of you in the queue. Like, or just literally listing as many things as I possibly can. We lost it. No. Come back to me. Oh. Yeah, there we go. Brill. So does that make sense? So just thinking, like, I think for kids, it's so important. And we've done prayer responses where I've said things to the kids like, right, we're going to go now and we're going to write down ways that we could show God's love this week. And I'm all about tomorrow. I'm all about, like, let's not think about how we can show God's love in a year's time when you've turned 8. Like, let's think about how you can show God's love tomorrow, this week. I'm always in our kids on a Sunday going, right, this week, tomorrow, what are you going to do? And I think just giving them loads and loads of ideas gets their brain going. And the amount of times where I've shared an example and then a child's come up to me and gone, you said this, and so I thought that that could happen, and then this, and does that make sense? It just triggers some stuff. And so actually, I've noticed and learned that in the times where I've not given many examples and said, go, the kids all sat there like, we just, yeah, what do I do? I don't know. What does it mean to show God's love? And so actually when you go, maybe you could show God's love tomorrow by tidying your room for your parents. Maybe you could show God's love tomorrow by that child in your class that nobody plays with. You could go and play with them. And suddenly that'll click. They'll think of that kid in their class. They'll think of their messy room. So give as many examples as you can. So that's preaching and that is application. So third point, did you like how they were all, what were they? They were all A's, okay. 3 P's, 3 A's, now we've got 3 C's. Okay, so planning, this is thinking more broadly around those of you, so that was quite kind of in the moment, you're teaching on a Sunday or preaching, you've got a talk to plan. This is more now thinking long term. This is thinking kind of when you're thinking about your curriculum, when you're thinking about your term, when you're thinking about kind of what themes and stuff you want to do. So I've got 3 C's, curriculum, context and culture. So whether you are preaching or teaching in your ministry, whether you've got a team of volunteers that do that for you, whether you've just got a small group of kids, whatever you've got, you will be thinking, okay, what are the themes? What are the stuff that I want to do? So one of the things that's really, really challenged me on this is this book. Now, I'm going to be honest, okay? I am not a reader. Like, I really, really struggle to read. I think I've finished 1 adult book in my life and I'm 32. I really, really struggle, but I'm really trying. I've got lots of books that I'm attempting to start reading. But, so when I got asked to recommend a book to give away, I was like, Mr. Tickle? Spot's Picnic, because I read a lot of stories to my son. But actually, someone recommended this. They'd read The Sustainable Youth Ministry, and I bought The Sustainable Children's Ministry. I'm going to be honest, this is how far I am, okay? So I've only read this much, and that is my signed picture of John Terry in a Villa shirt. That's my bookmark. But honestly, I've started reading it, and it's blowing my mind. The reason it's taken me so long is kind of like every chapter, I'm like, oh my goodness, I've got a to-do list of 10, 15 things that I need to do. Basically, what this is all about is it says from last-minute scrambling to long-term solutions. You know, as kids ministry, and honestly, the person, it's like the person writing this has just like been in my brain and written a book, and I'm sure many of you will relate to it. What she basically talks about is how last minute we are, how actually, you know, a lot of the time as kids ministry, we're putting plasters on things, we're patching things up, we're scrambling to get volunteers. You know, I constantly have to say to people, like, you know, on a Sunday morning, you just get your worship team, you just get the tech team, you get a couple of youth leaders, and it doesn't matter how many people turn up, you're fine. But if 12 toddlers turn up, I need 4 volunteers. If 20 toddlers turn up, I need, like, it's honestly, some people just don't get it. So if you want to read a book where somebody gets it, this honestly is, the first third of this book is amazing. But we're going to give this away to somebody. It's on Amazon and we're going to get it delivered to your house. But honestly, it's brilliant. And this has really impacted me because it started me. She basically talks about how important it is to plan. And how actually, if you spend time planning, getting your structures in place, how that will help you in the long run. And that's a really bad short version of me explaining it. It's way better than that. But this third point has kind of come out of that. Now, the first point here is curriculum. I want to say, if you'd asked me 5 years ago about curriculum, I would have said, I hate curriculums. I never want to do them. I write my own stuff. That's where I am. I like to do my own thing. However, now I love curriculums. I think they're amazing. And I think, yeah, if you can get a good curriculum. And the reason is, I think I tried so many, I found so many that were overcomplicated, 20 gazillion pages of stuff for actually just a little group of kids. And I think sometimes it's overcomplicated. Whereas now, I'm going to plug ours a little bit. It's not ours, but what we use. So we use something called Think Orange. It's from America. It's a whole organization that do the full range of curriculum from toddlers all the way up to older teens. And we have been using that for about 3 years. It is quite pricey, but come and talk to me afterwards because, yeah, we can have a conversation. But basically, it has changed my ministry, because I no longer have to spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and days thinking, planning, deciding what that theme is, coming up with craft ideas. Obviously, I still do some of that, but I would really encourage you that if you are struggling for time in your ministry, if you feel overwhelmed that you've not got enough hours in the day, if you are that person and you don't have a curriculum, I would really encourage you to look at a curriculum. And I think for me, I'm at the point now where I would actually take other things out in the kids' ministry budget to have that curriculum, because what it enables is the hours and hours and hours that's spent just going insane about thinking, when we do the fruit of the Spirit, when do we do the armor of God, what theme should we do for Christmas, all that's gone. Actually, that time goes into the kids. It goes into my volunteers. It goes into me. It goes into the ministry as a whole. Actually, for me, what I've realized in 5 years is that I was so head in the sand every week, kind of day to day, that actually it's just given me a bit more capacity to go, do you know what? The theme for this month, self-control, it's decided for me. And there's some quality videos and small groups and everything that comes with that. And we get the preschool one. So the preschool ministry is decided for me. I honestly don't know how I could go back to kind of planning two groups, crafts for everything, all that. So there's still a lot of planning and prep that goes into it. But I think the hours for me now that can go into my team and into the kids is just yeah, amazing. So I'd really encourage you to think about curriculum, whether that's even YouTube, whether that's whatever works again for your context. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be an all singing, all dancing curriculum, but just something that maybe releases, even if it releases an hour of time of your week that you could go and see a family, or an hour of your time that you could go to the park with a couple of families from church, or do you know what I mean? Or an hour of time that you could spend maybe with some people on your team, taking them for coffee or meeting up and encouraging them. So just have a think about curriculum. And then context. So who are the children that you have coming regularly? What are their ages? What is the group you're teaching at? So just thinking about what is your context. So I explained a little bit of my context earlier and what we've got. I think it's thinking about, right, who is coming regularly? You know, some of our locations, we've got 5 or 6 kids. The ages are really spanned out. And so actually, maybe you've only got one kids group and you've got 2-year-olds up to 11-year-olds. You know, that's going to be very different when you're thinking about planning your curriculum or planning your sessions to if you've just got 8 to 11-year-olds. Does that make sense? And it was very different if you've got 5 kids and you're in a static caravan to if you've got 50 kids and you're in a big community room. So it's just thinking about what is your context when you're planning. Does that make sense? Plan for who you've got. Don't plan for where you think you were or where you were. Does that make sense? So if in 6 months your kids' ministry doubles or triples, come on, okay, then don't be still planning like you had 10 kids when you've now got 30. So just think about your context. And the third one, culture. What's the culture of your church? What big events do they have? What things could you be inviting kids along to? You know, maybe the culture of your church is that the kids are in at the start of the service or the end of the service. Maybe your culture at your church is the kids are out for the whole time. Maybe the culture of your church is that they want the kids' ministry to be doing whatever's being taught in the adults' ministry. I know Emma at Coventry, they teach in the kids' ministry whatever's going on in the adults' ministry. I mean, that's a great way. If you really struggle to come up with your themes and ideas, that's a great way. I just find that really hard, because if it's a really random topic, it's like, how do you bring that into the kids ministry? But it's whatever works for you, whatever is the culture of your church. You see, the culture of our church is that we're small group based, and so actually on a Sunday we do kind of our upfront teaching, but then all of our small group, our kind of real discipleship, in-depth, looking at the Bible, doing crafts and activities, that all happens on a Wednesday. So that is the culture of our church. Also, what events do your church do? I think it's thinking about events that your church does. Are you doing any events? Could you do events? I mean, Christmas is, for me, just the no-brainer. Every family I've ever met love to do something together at Christmas. I guarantee most of the families in your churches, if they can, go to a panto at Christmas. It's like the family thing to do, or go to something together at Christmas. Go and see Santa, go to a garden centre. Make use of Christmas. Maybe take the opportunity to say, what can we start at Christmas for families? You know, get that invitation going. Get kids, inviting kids along. So those are my 3 points: praying, preaching, planning. I hope that's been really helpful. I hope you've been encouraged. But yeah, just to think about those things. We always need to start on our knees, sometimes crying, going, God, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know about you, but I'm a bit of a last minute person as well. So, you know, there's times where midnight, the night before I'm preaching, I'm still up kind of putting final things in. Oh, God said this to me. And whenever I'm preaching somewhere, there's about 5 different notes on my phone because I've been out and about and God said something and I've just typed it down. So let's just remember to pray, to listen to God. Let's remember when we're preaching, okay? And let's remember when we're planning as well for all that to be in. So questions then. So if you go back now to the question that you wrote down at the start, has anybody, please don't everyone put their hand up. No, it's fine. Has anybody got a question that they wrote down that I haven't answered and I'll do my best to answer? And if I can't, maybe somebody in the room can. If nobody puts their hand up, thank you, Lord. I was in tune with your spirit. No. Anyone? Go on, Debs. No, mate, it's fine. I was hoping there'd be some, so. Yeah. Firstly, I would say, and I want to say this to everybody, don't put yourself under too much pressure. The hours that a child spends at home compared to the hours that they spend at church is so small. And I think sometimes we feel, I've done this, I still do this, we feel like we've got to give those kids everything spiritually. And I think sometimes we need to work with partnering with the parents. I think in that situation, if I'd got enough volunteers, I would look at splitting again into smaller, even if it's just one person with that. I do what we do. So Pioneers is our year 5 and 6, and then Explorers is our, so we do reception to year 6, all in the same room, all together. There's a big age range, which is literally 4-year-olds to 11-year-olds. But we have Pioneers, which is our year 5 and 6, and they do the same content and teaching as the younger ones, but the small group, the activity. So sometimes on a Sunday, they'll split off into the other room. But on a Wednesday, their activities, questions, Bible study, whatever we're doing is different. So it's like a preteen kind of resource. And so it gets a very different feel in the group. So we avoid crafts with our year 5s and 6s because, let's be honest, they don't want to do it. They think they're ready for youth. So I would look at, could you split? Could you do the same Bible story but then have a different activity? The other thing to think about is, for me, I'm starting to think about this, how can you get year 6s helping? So I love, we've got this one lad called Noah, and every week we've got twins in reception. And every week he basically gets them, plays with them. They come to the front when we do the upfront slot and he sits one either side. They absolutely love him. He's like a junior leader. He's not a leader because he's in year 6. But I think it's also looking, so on a Wednesday night we do a tuck shop. Yes, we give kids sweets. Yeah, it's a bad mistake, but they love it. But we get our year 6s to basically help our leader. We have one leader and like 3 year 6s that run our tuck shop. So I'd think about, I know you've not got a tuck shop on a Sunday morning, but is there anything? Is there an activity you could do with the younger ones where you ask the old ones to help? Does that make sense? Is there something where they could buddy up so you play a game and it's like, right, you've got to get with somebody that's in a different year to you? I think if it was me, I'd be going, can we split these? Can we do the same content and then split? I think year 5s and 6 love a discussion. Like they love chatting, they love a game, they love fun, whereas a year 3 and 4 would love maybe a colouring sheet, bit of a craft activity with a little bit of discussion. Does that help? Martin, you got something to add? And I think also, like, for everybody, like, don't be afraid to move children up early. Like, we have quite strict rules on our age groups, but actually we do make exceptions. Like, we've got a girl currently, she turned 11 in September. Like, she's year six, but she is like 3 weeks off being year seven. And so actually, she's just bored and she's tall for her age. And she sticks out like a, she looks too old to be in there. And her parents have messaged me to say, can we have a conversation about it? And what me and Harvey, our youth pastor, are saying is that actually, we're happy to make exceptions, but I think what we're going to say is as long as they've turned that upper age. So, for example, if that was someone that was 10 and they weren't 11 till July, we'd probably say no. But because she's already 11, she is literally so close in age. So I think what you don't want to do is keep kids in groups and them hate it and resent church. We want kids to love church and have fun. And do you know what? I'm going to be honest. There's times of our older group where I've gone, do you know what? They can come in, watch the content while everybody else is doing the craft. They can just go and play. We've got consoles, table tennis. Because actually, sometimes I'm like, for me, my motto is kids need to have fun at church and then we teach them about God. Because actually, if they don't want to come, I'm not going to be able to teach them about God. So they need to have fun so that they want to come. Else, if they're not there, I can't teach them about God anyway. So sometimes, I think it's being flexible as well. And I think actually, if you've got one or two that are ready for youth, have the conversation with your youth leader. Do you know what I mean? We start transitioning ours, we look after Easter and we do on a Sunday, they go and visit in June time. Then we look to July, be transitioning them in. By August, they're in. Because if we don't by July and August have our year sixes in, starting to transition into youth, we'll lose them. And we have lost some in the past and breaks my heart. Sorry, I'm moving into Emma's seminar there. Any other questions? We have got time, so yes. Now go on. Interesting. Yeah, I think if I'm going to be really honest, I'm not sure and I'm still working that out. I think one of the things I love, my son's just started in preschool at this school, and the school he's gone to have 11 things before 11, and it's 11 things that every child at that school will get to do before they're 11, and it's a trip to London, it's an overnight stay, it's there's some other random things on there. And I saw it the other day in the school and I thought, I want that for our kids' ministry. Do you know what? So I'm beginning to think about that really. I want 11 things before 11 so that we say, do you know what? We want every child to have had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. We want every child to have been to an event. We want every child, do you know what I mean? I don't know what they are because I haven't given it thought yet. But I think we just go with the curriculum that we've got, but it does bring in topics all the time. It's changing all the time. I think for me, I'm always trying to create space for kids to worship. So our kids are out the whole time. We only have an hour service, and so there just isn't time to have kids in and come out. So they're out the whole time. And so basically, we make sure that there's worship. I make sure that there's opportunity to listen to God and hear God. I think for me, I want kids to encounter God. That would definitely be a brick for me, so that every child has encountered God, every child knows God's love. I would want every child by the time they've been to youth to have had an opportunity to have made a commitment of salvation and an opportunity to be baptized. We do baptisms as children, so the Sunday after half term, we're doing a Sunday afternoon family service with a kids' baptism. We were meant to have four kids get baptized, and it was the Sunday we went into lockdown. So the first Sunday we missed, there was four kids meant to be getting baptized, and 2 years later, we're hoping to baptize those four kids and some others as well. So for me, opportunity to baptism. So opportunities. Were you thinking more biblical principles as well? Ian, do you want to? Yeah, come on. Yeah. And I think just to go back to my point on planning, I think it's about the context and culture of your church as well. And I think for me, my bricks would probably be slightly different to other people's because of the culture and context of our church. Does that make sense? And I think everybody, they'll all be similar, but I think the pebbles and sand would definitely be very different depending on what church you're at and the culture and context of your church. So I hope that's helpful. But yeah, when I've wrote my 11 things before 11, I'll let you know as well. But you can steal that idea. So it's not mine, it's Man Away. Yeah, come on. Any other questions? Yes. Yeah. Sundays? Okay, so in our main location, obviously it's very different in our other locations, but our main location, so we divide it up into tribes, so we call it kids tribes. So we've got Gems, which is our 6 months to three. We've got Adventurers, which is our 3 and 4 year olds. And then we've got Explorers, which is reception to year four. And then we've got Pioneers, which is year 5 and 6. So Explorers and Pioneers, which is primary school age, so they come in, they register, we open 10, 15 minutes for the service. We come in, we've got 2 big rooms, similar size to this room. They've just got loads of pillars in, which are really annoying. And basically, we have free play at the start because we have about 20 minutes, half an hour. Trying to start kids' ministry at the same time as church is just ridiculous because then you've got half the families that are late. And actually, so I just gave up. Just, there's no point. Let's just embrace it. And so we open, we have table tennis, we have consoles, we have colouring, we have Lego, we have Kinect, which, can I just say, we've currently just sorted our Lego into coloured trays and labelled every drawer. Blue bricks, grey bricks, yellow bricks. Woo! No, it did. Loads of the older kids went, oh, I love this. I'm going to make sure the little ones put it away properly. I was like, you do that. Anyway, free play basically for about half an hour, to be honest, just so that we can get everybody in. And then we head through to the other room and we basically do an upfront. So there'll be a presenter or 2 people. We've got something called warm-up songs, which I personally have made, which is basically a mashup of songs with a character dancing. And basically we do that. We get all the kids up. We hype them up. We give out prizes for our best singers and best dancers. And so that's a prize box of sweets at the end that they can get. And then after that, it kind of rains. We use the curriculum that we use gives us a 10-15 minute video. It's called the So and So Show. It's 2 guys presenting. There's Bible story time with Kellen. So there's a Bible story told in a different way every week. But I don't know about you, but kids sit for longer watching a screen than they do sit watching me. And so we just show that every week, and then whoever's hosting will get up and basically, I said I was all about application. We'll basically get up and application, application, application. Right, how does that story link to us? What can we do this week? What are we doing? And then because we used to then do small groups afterwards, because we've moved our small groups to a Wednesday night, we now mix it up what happens after that. So this Sunday, we just had a worship time. So we had time for a couple of songs and we just worshiped together. We did 1 song with actions and dancing, and then we sang This Is Amazing Grace and just let the kids worship. And then that was it. Another Sunday, we might go off to small groups and do a craft, and the older ones, pioneers might go and do discussion. And then we finish and wrap up. Sometimes there's time to go and play again at the end. Sometimes there's not. Sometimes God will speak and we'll have kids writing prophetic words or what they're going to do this week. Sometimes they'll take things home. Sometimes they won't. I think since becoming a parent, realised how much I don't want a colouring sheet every week. And actually, I got to the point where I was stressing so much about having an activity or colouring sheet every week. And I think, and my 3-year-old kept coming home, yay, straight in the bin. And I thought, how many of them? So we've stopped a craft every week. I've just stopped it because it was just like, it's stressing me out. It's stressing our gap year guys out planning it. And actually, how many of them are half coloured in, going in the bin? And so actually, I was like, I'd rather get rid of that and have encounters with God. I'd rather have just a worship time. So like Sunday was amazing. You just got kids singing to This Is Amazing Grace and dancing around, do you know what I mean? I think for me that's more beneficial, like just mixing it up. So we'd mix it up. And then Wednesdays is they come in, they go to their small group. We then take the same story from a Wednesday. There's a shorter video that also comes with it that's just the Bible story. So it's kind of like kids' TV on a Sunday morning. So the way that we see it is Sundays is the upfront, it's teaching, it's kids' TV, and then Wednesdays is you're in your small group, you come to the front, you hear the Bible story again from the Sunday, and then you go to your small group and there's an activity or two. And they do take crafts home and colouring sheets and stuff on a Wednesday. But yeah, does that answer? Great, sorry, I just whizzed through that. So, yeah, Wednesdays is the same kind of rooms. We charge, so one of the things that we do is like we need to cover costs, and so we charge £1 per child, and we have a tuck shop on a Wednesday night, and so kids come to that. And yeah, we are finding in the last, so we launched that in September and ran it. Our church likes a trial. I don't know if any other church, anyone else loves a trial of something. We're not allowed to just start something. We have to trial it. So we trialed it from September to Christmas, and it was a roaring success. And so we're carrying it on now. But I'm finding that the kids are being more consistent on a Wednesday than they are on a Sunday. So I've got families that come every single Sunday and turn up every other week on a Sunday, once a month on a Sunday, which is really fascinating. So, but yeah, it's the same room, similar style, but obviously it's just more small group based, and they stay in their small groups for most of the night. And so we have two leaders with every age group who work, and it's the same leaders every week. So they commit to coming every week, bless them, and investing. So, yeah, is that right? I'm just aware of time. We need to finish. Abby, hand over to you. Thank you.